Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. Today we are considering, strangely enough in a church, we're considering the person of Jesus. And my thought, my guiding question for today is, who is Jesus? There's been a great deal written and a great deal spoken about who Jesus is. I tend to think, though, if we really want to know something about Jesus, we go to the source material. And in John's Gospel, so John was a friend of Jesus, he was an apostle, and he travelled with Jesus, and over the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, he learned and he listened from Jesus, and he wrote down many of the things that Jesus said. And in John's Gospel, he records some statements that Jesus made where Jesus said, "I am." And then Jesus would compare himself to something, sometimes in nature, sometimes to do with the world and the way it is, and we would learn something about Jesus. And often these things are deep, and they are profound, and they are meaningful, and they are Jesus himself teaching us about him. And there's a lot we can learn. So today we're going to work our way through most of John's Gospel. I know that sounds like it's going to take for ages, but it's not going to. We're going to work our way through the statements that Jesus made about himself, where he said, "I am ... The first one we come to is after the feeding of the 5,000. So Jesus performed a miracle where he took some small loaves of bread and a couple of small fish, and he multiplied these and fed. The heading says he fed 5,000. When you read the gospel, it said there were 5,000 men and there were women and children there as well. Could have been as many as 15,000 people fed from a few small loaves and a few small fish. And the disciples, each time the basket was empty, they'd have to go back to Jesus and get more, and he'd send them out again and to feed the people. And the people who saw this, they were amazed, of course, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus said, "Why are you following me? You're following me because you saw the miracle of the bread." He said, "Your fathers, they ate the manna that came down from heaven. They ate that in the wilderness with Moses, and they died in the wilderness." And then he went on to say that we ought to eat the bread that his Father sends down from heaven. He said, "My Father gives the true bread from heaven. The bread of heaven is he who comes down from heaven." And the people said, "Give us this bread always." And then in verse 35 of John's Gospel, chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life." Jesus is the bread. Their fathers ate bread and died, but Jesus is the true bread. He is the life giver. He is the supplier of true life. He is all that we need. He is all that we have for true life. And then we think of another time where Jesus spoke about bread a little while before he was crucified at what we call the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper. Jesus took bread and he prayed and blessed it. And then he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat this, all of you. This is my body." Jesus is the true bread. We feed upon him when we are followers of Jesus and we live life after him and partake in communion. We are feeding upon him because he is the bread of life. Jesus said more though. Who is Jesus? What else can we learn about him? What about yourselves at the moment? In the world, what do we see? We look around and we see riots in America and follow-up riots in England and protests in Melbourne and Sydney. We see the coronavirus, and we are so fortunate to be in South Australia, but we see that around the world with huge death tolls in America and England, Italy and Brazil. And we see darkness. Sometimes in our own personal lives we have the fog of darkness. Things are not going well. And there is confusion and there can be fights in the home. There can be upset at work and we see darkness. But Jesus himself said in John's Gospel and chapter 8 verse 12, he said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus proclaims himself to be the light. When there's light, there's no darkness. And Jesus is that light. In the Greek, he says, "I am the phos, the phosphorescence." And the word for world is the cosmos. Jesus is the light of the whole cosmos, he is proclaiming. And so if you're feeling that you are in the darkness, look to Jesus. Look to him, because he is your light, and he will push back the darkness, and he will bring you into the light with him. Jesus is the light of the world. Who is Jesus? In another place in the gospel, we come across a story where Jesus, he tells a farming story, and it's not like an Australian farm. It's a first century Palestine farm, and Jesus tells a sheep story, and he says, "I am the door of the sheep," in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 7. And if you've ever seen Australian farmers droving sheep, they're on the motorbike or they're in the car, and they're pushing thousands of sheep before them, and the sheep are in huge fence paddocks. In first century Palestine, the sheep would follow their shepherd, and he would call them by name, and they would follow him. And then they'd come to what was called the sheepfold, and often it was a rock structure with a small gap where the door should be, and the shepherd himself would lay in that door at night time, and nothing could get past the shepherd into the sheep to steal the sheep. No wolves or bears, even lions in Palestine at that time, or thieves, and they couldn't get past the shepherd, because Jesus said he is the door of the sheep. Brothers and sisters, is Jesus your door? Is Jesus keeping you safe? Is he protecting you from those metaphorical lions and bears and wolves and thieves, the things that would come into your life to destroy? Jesus is the door, and you can take your shelter and your refuge in him. Who is Jesus? Well, he continued on his farming theme just a few verses later. And he said to his disciples who were listening, he said, "I am the good shepherd." Shepherds in first century Palestine, lions, bears, wolves. If you were a hired shepherd and they were not your sheep, and you came up against something like this, you left the sheep and you ran for your life. But Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I lay my life down for the sheep." Brothers and sisters, Jesus has done that for you. Jesus has laid his life down for you, because he is the good shepherd and he wants to protect you. He wants you to have the benefit of his life, and he was willing, and in fact he laid down his life for you, that you could be saved and that you could have life. Who is Jesus? Jesus went on to say, in another passage, when he was talking about a friend of his, a friend who had become sick, and the apostle said, "Lord, Lazarus is sick." Lazarus was one of Jesus' best friends. He lived in a town called Bethany with his sister Mary and Martha, and they said, "Lord, Lazarus is sick," and Jesus said, "This sickness is not to death, but it's going to be to the glory of God." But Lazarus died. And by the time Jesus got to Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and the mourners and the friends of the family had gathered, and there was noise and crying and weeping and wailing. Traditionally, mourning would go on for up to 30 days, and here one of the close friends of Jesus was dead. And his Lazarus, his sister, Martha, she ran out to Jesus and she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She called him Master, Lord. I wonder whether she was simply making a statement. I wonder whether she was partly telling Jesus off. "Lord, if you had been here, you would have saved him, and now he's dead." Jesus said to her, "Martha, your brother will rise again." In the Greek, the word rise, the way we're writing that in the Greek, it says to stand up or to stand again. And Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother, he will stand again." And Martha said, "Yes, I know. On the last day, he will stand again. He will rise on that last day." And Jesus said something profound. He said to Martha, he said, "I am the resurrection." Jesus said, "I am the standing up. I am the rising again." And so, sister and brother, how is it with you at the moment? How is life for you? Are you weighed down and heavy? Well, Jesus is the rising up. Are you feeling a bit lost and without direction in this world at the moment? Jesus is your rising up. He is the resurrection. Are you fearful of a second wave of the coronavirus because South Australia has done so well? Do not fear. Jesus is the rising up. And we can all rise and stand with the power of Jesus. But not only for now, not only in these turbulent times. Jesus also said, if anyone believes in me, if anyone follows me, even though they will die, at the last day they will rise again. So Jesus promises us that after death there is a rising again, there is a standing up on that last day, and we will live forever with the Lord Jesus because he is the resurrection. Brothers and sisters, who is Jesus? What did he say about himself? Our next thought, it took place during the Last Supper, the time when Jesus with his disciples took bread and wine and told them that he was going to die and be crucified and raised again. And Jesus said to them, I'm going, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And you know the way, you know how to get there. And Thomas, he said, Lord, we don't know the way. And Jesus said to Thomas, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. So again, brothers and sisters, if you're feeling lost, if you're struggling, if you don't know what is real or who to believe, Jesus is the truth. If you are struggling with your day-to-day, what should I do? Should I do this or should I do that? How am I going to keep going when I am this exhausted? Jesus is the life. And then the way. It's not Siri. It's not Google Maps. It's not Facebook or Instagram. It's not your newsfeed or your storyline. Jesus is the way. He is the road. He is how we know where to go. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Who is Jesus, brothers and sisters? I live a little way from the church here, not far. I live near Cobbler Creek. And in Cobbler Creek, near where we live, there's a remnant of a farm. And in the farm, there's an orchard. There's a fantastic mulberry tree. It's huge. And in spring, sometimes we collect mulberries there and we've made some delicious apple and mulberry pies. There's some plums, plum trees, and we've had wild plums from there. There's an apple and a pear tree, and they never really get enough rain to produce fruit these days. And right near there, there's some vines, some grape vines. And my kids, when they were little, and we were going for a walk, they'd see these grapevines and there were these bunches of grapes, and they'd look at them and the grapes were little tiny green grapes. And they said, can we eat them? I said, they will be sour if you eat them. And nonetheless, they would pick some grapes off these vines, and they did it more than once, and they had it and their faces screwed up because they were wild grapes off a wild vine. But here, Jesus, in chapter 15 of John's Gospel and verse 1, he said, I am the true vine. I'm not a wild vine. I'm not a vine that produces no fruit or sour fruit. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Jesus said to us that when we are attached to him, he said, abide in me and you will produce much fruit. When we are connected to Jesus, we will be fruitful. In our lives will bear fruit. We'll worry less, we'll be less angry, we'll be transformed to be like Jesus, we'll be less selfish, we'll hate less, we'll forgive more. Because when we are attached to Jesus, we will be like Jesus and our lives will bear fruit. We will want to tell the gospel, we want to tell the good news of Jesus to all those around us. And in doing so, more people will be joined into the vine, grafted onto that vine, and they will be followers of Jesus, and there will be much fruit Jesus is the true vine, and in him there is life. Who is Jesus? Now, this last thought's not traditionally counted as one of the I ams of Jesus, but I just can't go past it. Back in chapter 8 of John's Gospel, so going backwards in chapter 8 of John's Gospel, he was having a discussion with a bunch of people around him, and they ended up having a bit of an argument in some ways. And one of the things that Jesus said to them, he said, I will tell you the truth. In verse 32, he said, I will tell you the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the people said, we are Abraham's children. We are not slaves. We've never been free. We've never been slaves. And Jesus looked at them and he said, I tell you the truth, Abraham looked forward to my day and he rejoiced to see my day. And the people said to him, you're not even 50. How have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them in verse 58 of chapter 8, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And he didn't finish it off. He simply said, I am. And the people picked up stones to stone him, and he passed through the middle of them. Why did Jesus say, I am? And why did he stop? And why did he not compare himself to something? Back in the Old Testament, you may know the story of Moses, and in chapter 3 of Exodus and verse 14, Moses met with God in the burning bush, and there was a dialogue, and Moses said, if I go back to the people, who shall I tell them is sending me? And God said, I am. And when Jesus said, I am, he was telling the people that he is God, God the Son of God, that he is Yahweh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he is the Son of God. And they understood it fully. Brothers and sisters, all the I ams of Jesus, they remind us that Jesus is Lord God. He is Master. He is Light. He is the Resurrection, and in him there is no darkness, and in him one day we shall rise again. Brothers and sisters, if you are feeling these turbulent times, I encourage you to get John's Gospel out and look through John's Gospel and find the I am statements of Jesus and enjoy them and learn from them and be comforted by them and have a closer walk with Jesus because of them. Who is Jesus? Read the I am statements. Amen.